Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to equip you all with the latest evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, soon to be author of The Science of Nutrition out December the 30th, 2021, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, we are going to be joined by guests, all of whom are experts in their field, so that together we can all learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with our trusted expert advice. Are you struggling to stick to a routine and find your mojo? Well, you're not alone, and there are endless options available to us that we can utilize to inspire others to hit our exercise goals and to keep us accountable. Elevating our fitness alongside supporting our mood and overall health is incredibly important, especially this time of year. So this week's Food for Thought sees personal trainer Bradley Simmons and I discuss how we can get the most out of our workouts and continue to reach our evolving fitness goals. Hello, Bradley.
Hello, how are we?
Oh, hello, I am very well, thank you. Thank you for asking. I think we should definitely start, this episode by kicking off with the fact that gyms are, of course, open. And as you know, a personal trainer yourself, you must have missed them, I suppose. But do you think the culture around going to the gym has changed? Do you think it will ever be the same again?
I think during lockdown especially, so many people got results from working from their home that a lot of people won't actually go back to the gym. Many of my subscribers, for example, have said, it takes me 40 minutes to get to the gym. I'll do an hour workout where I don't really know what I'm doing, and then I've got travel to work. Whereas if they can work out from home, straight into their living room or the comfort of their bedroom, maybe wherever they want to train, they get results and then they can get straight into work. So don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people that enjoy going to the gym. They can't work out from home because they can't get into that mindset, which I totally understand. But everyone's different and everyone likes different things, don't they?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think we've got used to the simplicity of not having to drive anywhere, not having to get in the car. And I've got to say, I kind of really like, apart from when technical glitches happen, I like being able to work from home a bit more. But in terms of setting goals, what do you think, I guess, are the benefits of setting fitness goals if we're going to acclimatize to this strange new time?
Yes, well, setting goals allows you to be consistent, and consistency is the key to have results, to be successful. Many people, if they just work out from day to day, don't really know what they're doing, they don't set themselves a goal, they don't have a plan, they don't have a vision, then you're likely to get bored, you're likely to hit that brick wall, you're not likely to be consistent. So for me, setting a big goal is great, but set yourself small goals to reach that big goal, and you're more likely to stay motivated, inspired, especially if you're using a guide or you're using an online platform or you've got a personal trainer coming to your house. So for me, that is so important, that you set yourself small goals to be consistent.
Right. So short term instead of long term. Do you think that's where a lot of people go wrong? They're thinking too big.
Well, they think too big, and it takes a lot longer than, let's say, 2-3 weeks to get that big result. For me, when I do 12-week transformations, and sometimes 12 weeks isn't enough. So you have to set yourself a big goal, of course, because that's a vision. But then there's the small goals that you have to set to get there. Because the journey, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Like I always have to remind my clients, it's a marathon, but you definitely get there. And it's the journey so good, because not only physically do you succeed, mentally as well. You become a stronger person mentally after that journey.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really interested in, obviously fitness is, it's what you do. It's a huge part of your life, but I'm sure that it maybe wasn't always that way for you. I mean, I know football was also on the cards, but what makes a good fitness goal then? How do you keep to inventing yourself to have new goals? Because it must be hard once you've kind of reached a epitome of fitness.
100%. I think you got to always challenge yourself. So you can't stay in your comfort zone. So for example, if you're a runner, and you set yourself a goal, let's say 2 months ago, to hit 10 kilometer run in 45 minutes, and you've hit that and you're constantly doing 45 minutes. Now, can you set yourself a goal to hit 42 minutes? And how are you going to do that? You can do with extra training in the gym. It's not just running. You've got to strengthen those glutes. You've got to strengthen that core. You've got to do some high intensity sprints as well to get there. So you constantly have to challenge yourself. And if you don't challenge yourself, that's again when you get a bit bored and you could potentially hit that brick wall and lose that motivation. So for me, you constantly have to challenge yourself. And that could be challenging yourself with other people, people who might be fitter, stronger than you, coming out of your comfort zone and going to a gym class, which might be a little bit more difficult than you're used to. And again, you're just testing yourself, which will challenge yourself. And obviously, you're going to come out a stronger, fitter person.
I mean, there are times, obviously, in our lives, like I love that. And I've been through a phase, I think it was after obviously having a baby, just feeling, I just had no motivation whatsoever. And I think, what are the signs, first of all, that you're overdoing it, and the signs that you're underdoing it?
100%. Well, during lockdown, because I was keeping my my followers and my subscribers active, I hit a brick wall myself, because I was doing so much training. I was doing six, and I'm still doing six live workouts a week.
Oh my goodness.
And it gets to the point, it's exhausting, and I was getting really bad problems in my back, in my neck. My knees were tired, my ankles were tired. And I was absolutely exhausted. So you have to listen to your body. And sometimes rest is actually more important than putting yourself through exercise and through hard work. So listening to your body is very key. I think obviously nutrition and good sleep is really, really important for that. But do you know what? Sometimes when you're feeling a bit unmotivated, it's cold. It's getting colder, for example, now. The sun's going away. These are the times, especially during winter, where people kind of just stay on their sofa, they wrap themselves in a blanket and just stay put. But as I always say, these are the months where people really should try and stay as motivated as you can. And that's the best way, is by investing, getting yourself some new fitness gear. So do you know what? I'm really excited to wear this new fitness outfit tomorrow. I'm going to do that by doing a workout. I can't wait. And I'm going to go and see my friends. Me and my friends, we have this thing called Thursday Club. So every Thursday we go to a gym called KXU, where it's almost like a social event as well. So we do the workout together, we socialize, we have some food after, and it's almost like a social event as well. So maybe adding that into your regime is going to keep you motivated. Again, you surround yourself with other people that are inspiring, have got lots of energy, and that is so important as well.
That's such a good idea. And I will say, for any mums out there, I put my gym gear on in the morning, and then if I get a window or if the baby sleeps, because I'm already wearing it, it's just an added incentive to do it, I think. And I think it's also confusing, the terms. I think they can be very useful but also a bit toxic at the same time, rest days, because they are so important for recovery. But what does one actually look like for most people, would you say, a rest day?
Well, most people, when they think rest day, they think literally sitting down, doing nothing, eating a few donuts. You know what I mean? For me, a very good rest day is going for a nice active walk. Okay, that could take 20, that could be 30, it could be 45, it could be an hour, depending on your fitness levels, it could be an hour. Then it could be a bit of mobility, a bit of yoga, a bit of meditation, going into a nice Epsom salt bath, relaxing, having a good massage. So finding ways to completely rest is also looking after your body, not staying still. Definitely doing some mobility is so important, especially if you're doing a lot of high intensity training.
When you say, sorry to interrupt you there, but just to explain to our listeners what mobility training looks like, because I think all these terms can be quite confusing to a lot of people.
Yes, of course. So mobility is another way of stretching your body, stretching those joints, stretching those muscles. We can become very tight and very stiff, especially if we're doing a lot of exercise. So what we have to do is foam rolling is another way to stretch and to mobilize different type of exercises. Yoga is great for mobility and just moving that body. So what I love to do, because obviously I'm doing lots of training and I have to look after my body if I want to be consistent, if I see my business as longevity, because if I don't wake up, then obviously my subscribers, they can't get their workout in. So for me, I go for active walks, which is, for me, the blood flows around the body, which is allowing my body to recover. I do lots of stretching. I do some yoga. Stretching, about 10 to 20 minutes is all you need to do. Yoga, you can do a 30-minute class, and even that also helps me to unwind and helps me relax before I go to bed. And I get the foam roller out. And I've got the thing called a Theragun. And so in those areas where you're really tight, especially in my chest, in my glutes, for example, in my shoulders, that just helps that blood flow around the body, which helps your body become nice and, I guess, less stiff.
Yeah. Oh, we all need to move
yeah.
Worse than having a bad back or tight. What I find is tight hip flexors has always been my problem.
Hip flexors are the ones, I know. Oh, hip flexors are the ones.
It's horrible, because when I do a workout and I haven't worked out for like 2 or 3 weeks, that seems to be my life at the moment. But when I actually get around to doing it, I notice that I can't do exercises as well as I used to because they're so tight. Is that foam rolling that would help with that?
Foam rolling helps the blood flow. So what you need to do is stretch. So foam rolling doesn't help stretch the muscle. That blood foam rolling allows the blood flow around the body. So what you need to do is use certain exercises, stretches, to really stretch those hip flexors. When you have stiff hip flexors, especially as being a footballer, I remember having really bad hip flexors. It does affect your mobility, your range of movement, and it can be very frustrating because, like you said before, you can't move your body like you want it to. Mm-hmm. You can't be as effective. Your performance drops big time. So that's why it's really important to take 10, 15 minutes out of your day to have a good stretch before and after your workouts.
Yeah.
The boring bit.
But you know what? It may be the boring bit, but I think it's also quite meditative, and I quite like that feeling. Now, what about people that are working from home? So what time do you think there's a better time of day to keep motivation up or hit goals?
Yeah, for me, I think the most important day to work out part of the day is definitely in the morning. Wake up, get out of bed. Don't necessarily have to eat anything. If you want a bit of a shot of coffee to give you a bit of a caffeine kick, do your high intensity workout, go for a nice 30-minute run or 30-minute walk, whatever it might be, a strength session. That's going to give you those endorphins. That's going to make you feel productive. That's going to make you feel energetic and confident to go and smash the day ahead. Get in your shower, groom yourself, put some nice moisturizing cream on, put some nice clothes on. You feel fresh and you feel like you're ready to start the day. For me, that works a treat for myself, and I know for my clients as well. But of course, if you're not a morning person, that's fine. You can do it midday, but try and avoid high intensity exercise before bed, before I say around 7 o'clock. For me, it's a bit too late. 8 o'clock's a bit too late. Because for me individually, I struggle to sleep after that, because your brain's just like, wow, I've got all this energy. Where's this come from? So if you can use that in the morning, honestly, you're going to feel so productive and energetic.
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense as human beings. I mean, I guess, of course, there's the case where some people can only fit it in the evening. But I agree with you. Maybe the type of exercise they do should change if it's in the evening.
Yes, definitely avoid high intensity in the evening. Definitely go a bit more chill, so a bit more strength training, a bit of yoga, a bit of Pilates maybe. If you are going to go for a run, make sure it's not too intense, because you do struggle. Some individuals might not, but I know a lot of clients of mine and myself, I struggle if I work out in the evening.
Yeah, no, I mean, 100%. And you've worked with a lot of different types of clients. And I guess when you're working, does it differ when you're working with, I don't know, VIP celebrity clients versus us? You know, I think people would like to know, are they the same?
Yeah, of course they're the same. VIP celebrities are just normal beings. They just, They're just famous. They've just got a name. We're all the same. Obviously, when I train athletes, that's a little bit different because you've got to be a bit more specific. But the everyday person is your VIP celebrity as well. They want to get fit. They want to get healthy. They want to get strong. So nothing changes at all, really, with nutrition or training. Again, it all just comes down to consistency and putting that work in. All right, these VIP celebrities, they might have the time to do it, but some of them are really busy and they put the work in. So yeah, we're all the same.
I mean, mental health wise, you've been through a lot, and I guess what about on a slightly different subject? What about the time you should be working out for? And I guess, is there a difference when it comes to working out to make you feel better for your mental health versus working out to achieve a goal, like a fitness goal?
Yeah. So for your mental health, a 5-minute workout in the morning, 5 minutes of high intensity, 5 minutes of stretching, 5 minutes of yoga is perfect. That's going to help your mental state. If that's going to make you feel productive going into the day, feel energetic. Physically wise, high intensity wise, you only need to do 30 minutes. Really got to push yourself. Strength-wise, 40 to an hour for me is really beneficial because obviously you've got your rest periods in there as well. So, yeah, so time is important when you want results when it comes to physical. But for mental, it literally could be 5 minutes if that's going to make you feel better. But for me, if you see yourself results physically-wise, that's going to give you confidence. Mm. So for me, they're both coming hand-to-hand. If you can be consistent with training at least 30 minutes a day, 5 times a week, then ideal.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, as a nutritionist, we should touch on nutrition here as 100%. Well. 100%. So because I know I'm biased, Bradley, but I do believe that nutrition almost has a bigger impact on if someone's looking at aesthetic goals rather than training for, you know, mental health and strength, that type of thing.
Yeah, 100%. Nutrition is so, so important. And I learned that when I was at QPR, my footballing days, I was training so much in the gym. But then I was going up and having 2 massive bowls of pasta. I was having ketchup with my breaded chicken. Didn't look after my nutrition, basically. So I wasn't seeing the results that I wanted to see. So for me, that was when I first started looking into my nutrition, and I learned a lot. Yeah. And it's so, so important because not only does looking after your nutrition make you look good whilst you're training, but also it's so good for your brain power and for your mental state as well. As they say, a healthy gut is a healthy brain, right? It's your second brain.
Definitely. We love a good gut-brain axis reference. And then with, I think it's the saying, isn't it? You can't, put fuel in an empty tank, or you can't run on an, what is it? You can't run on an empty tank?
Well, basically, you wouldn't put diesel in a petrol car.
That's it.
Would you?
That's it.
You wouldn't put diesel in a petrol car, so you wouldn't put bad food in a human being. So make sure you consume good, healthy food, and that's going to fuel you correctly when it comes to your physical exercise and also your mental state as well.
Yeah, most of the time, eat the best you can in order to, I guess, feel great. And are you a believer that people should be tracking their food or setting targets with it?
So when I have clients, when I do transformations, for the first 12 weeks, I like my clients to track their macros and micros. I think through that 12 weeks, they can learn a hell of a lot. It's a really good educational journey. And then after that 12 weeks, I go, wow, I've learned so much. I understand how many calories is in this and this and this. I can understand how much my portion size should be. And then after that 12-week journey, they go, wow, I've learned so much. It happened to my sister. My sister came to me and said, Bradley, I'm training really hard, but I'm not losing weight. What am I doing wrong? I said, Connie, we're going to start tracking your calories. And she goes, I don't want to do that. It's obsessive, Bradley. It's obsessive. I said, Connie, please, just trust me. 12 weeks. And now she's really good. She knows exactly what's in what and how much to eat. And it makes a big difference. If you're tracking your macros and micros all the time, of course, that can be obsessive. If you're going to a restaurant and saying, no, sorry, I can't eat that, I don't really know what macros is, that's not healthy either. So you should have a healthy relationship with food, but sometimes people need that educational, because us in Britain, we eat too much. Our portion sizes are too much. And people will be shocked to figure out how many actually calories are in certain things.
Yeah. And you know, it's a very interesting topic, the calorie one, because obviously, for some people, like you've mentioned in Connie's case, it is quite useful and it is important. Yeah. I think it's good to be aware, especially if you have a certain goal. And if it is a body awareness goal or an aesthetic goal, it is something that will help. And of course, in the Retrition Clinic, we do that with some of our weight loss clients. Then there's the flip side. And anybody, just go and have a listen to the episode I have with Professor Giles Yeo on calories, because we know as well calories are 120 plus years old. So of course the calculations are out of date, but it will make a difference if you're looking at those body goals. So we have to understand more about food and know when to switch it on and off. But just a little trigger warning to anybody listening, if this is going to be something that you find is not good for your relationship with food, then don't go there.
I always say you have to be in the right headspace and right mindset to start a journey where you're doing calories and stuff. So if you're someone who has like, let's say a bad relationship with food, I wouldn't recommend it. But if someone who's just looking to really improve, I guess, their appearance, because that's their goal, then it's something definitely to do. But do it alongside a personal trainer or nutritionist to help you and guide you properly.
Yeah, precisely.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And let's move on to a debate that I think is on social media at the moment, and actually worldwide. There have been Netflix documentaries about it now, and that is vegan athletes following. And I don't want to confuse the word plant-based and vegan because they're different things. But what are your views on this? Will it help or hinder training?
Honestly, if you do it correctly, it's completely fine. I know many athletes who are vegans. They're some of the fittest, the strongest people I know. So it doesn't hinder your performance at all, unless obviously you haven't done your research. If people go to become a vegan and haven't done their research, then of course it's not going to help their performance, because you still have to get those macronutrients in. You still have to get the proteins, the fats, the carbs, etc. in. A lot of vegans obviously struggle getting those proteins in. So you have to do your research. It's so, so important. But if you do it properly, it doesn't affect you at all. And that's just through knowing certain people and obviously doing my own research as well. So definitely give it a go. But you're definitely going to have to change up your diet. There'd be a lot of different ingredients I'm sure you haven't tried before.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fun. It's different.
I completely agree. I'm a bit fed up with people discriminating against people's dietary choices, because it's such a personal thing and there's so many reasons behind it. And you can achieve so many wonderful things on every type of chosen method of way of eating. Okay, so what about other areas of our life we can expect to benefit from exercising? I mean, we talked about mental health a little bit and we talked about body goals. Is there anything else you think that really is going to benefit us from exercising?
Well, obviously your cardiovascular health is so important, you know, especially during COVID. Only people unfortunately passed away because they probably didn't have a stronger cardiovascular health than others. So it's really important that we do exercise every single day. It doesn't have to be a marathon. It doesn't have to be high intensity training. It could just be being more active, going for those faster walks. Instead of jumping on the bus every day, can you walk that 2 miles? Do you understand? So it's just improving our health. You don't have to become an athlete, but you do have to become a more active person. And that's going to benefit your health big time.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I could talk forever about these subjects, but we have lots of questions from people for you, Bradley.
Okay, wicked.
So sorry, I know you haven't seen these, but let me just trying to think which one to start with that we haven't covered. A lot of people are interested in what you do, which mm-hmm. I know we try and say all the time, you know, what works for you won't work for everyone else, but yeah. It might be quite motivating. So someone said, Aaron said, do you do cardio alongside your strength training, or does it slow down muscle growth?
So again, it depends on the individual and their body type. I'm very fortunate where I gain muscle quite easily. So I actually have to tend to do a lot more high intensity workouts because I gain fat quite easily. So I tend to do a lot of high intensity, and luckily for me, my muscle mass stays put. But if you've got a different body type, then obviously you're going to have to change your training. Mm. For me, what I like to do, I like to mix my cardio and strength. So one day I'll do strength, one day I'll do cardio, one day I do strength, one day I do cardio. I train 6 times a week, so I have a good balance. And that's what I do with my live workouts. That's the schedule at the minute. Last month we did a strength challenge. Every day was pure strength, and the previous month to that everything was high intensity and cardio based. But this month we're focusing on a bit of both, which is my favorite way to train. So important to train your heart, the cardiovascular yeah. health of the yeah. cardio, and to help maintain a lower body fat percentage. And obviously your strength is so important, building that core strength, building that muscular frame to make sure we have a good posture. And it's so important, isn't it? Everyday activities become easier when we're stronger, healthier human beings.
Yeah, oh, 100% agree. It's the everyday activities I think people forget about, like carrying the shopping home,
yeah,
or, you know, being able to power walk or run for the bus.
Yeah, it's more important that we train in the gym for those reasons than actually looking good. It's yeah. as we get older, can we still play with our children, with our grandchildren? Yeah. Can we still be active? These are the things that people don't really think about. So I'm thinking, okay, if you're not training now, if you're not healthy now, what are you going to be like in 50 years time, when obviously mm-hmm. you want to see your grandchildren grow up? For me, my goal is to be like my granddad. He's a big inspiration of mine. He's still at the allotment every single day. Oh. He takes my younger cousins to school. He plays football with them. Do you know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. a big inspiration to be able to do that at his age, which is like nearly 85 now. Wow. It's a big inspiration. Yeah, it's a big inspiration. So, and he's got a very healthy, active lifestyle, and it's so, so important.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. And, you know, it is quite inspiring, I think, for even for myself, because I love running around after. I mean, his favourite game at the moment, my boy is, you know, hide and seek and peekaboo and stuff. And I'm running around the house like a mad thing. But another question we've got from Rose. Let's do Rose. She said, I've started running 5Ks during lockdown. I think a lot of people do now, actually, like couch mm-hmm. 5Ks and stuff. But despite regular training over the last few months, I've really struggled to run any further. Do you have any advice?
So when she says she's been training, she'll be doing lots of strength training alongside her running, or she's just been running.
If
she's someone who's just been running, of course, your body needs to become stronger. So you need to gain stronger hamstrings, stronger glutes, stronger core strength. And that's going to allow your body to go even further. Have you got the right running trainers? Have you got the right running gear? Are you staying hydrated? Are you looking after your nutrition and your recovery? These things, you have to have an athlete mindset. Even if it's just for 5K, if you want to be able to do that 6, 7, 8, get up to 10K, you need to put yourself in an athlete mindset, which we all can do. We all can do that. We might not be Olympians, but we can put ourselves in Olympian mindset to be fitter, stronger people. So definitely do some strength stuff, build those glutes, build those hamstrings, build a stronger core. And obviously that will help you for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Really good advice there. I think mindset, there's a lot to be said for mindset with a lot of things. And we actually have a few episodes on how to create a positive mindset, or, you know, create happiness, which is quite interesting with the psychology behind it. But sure, it would benefit exercise.
100%.
Hannah has said, I'm going on holiday in a few weeks. I wasn't planning on doing any exercise while mm-hmm. I'm away. Does that mean I'm going to lose my muscle?
Look, she might lose a little bit, but once you're on holiday, relax. I don't exercise when I'm on holiday, because that's my time to recharge and just completely chill and let my body recover. And I enjoy what I want. I eat, I drink, I enjoy my holiday. So don't worry. Muscle memory is the thing. So once you come back from holiday, you hit hard in the gym again, and your body, your muscle memory is going to be there. You're going to gain that muscle back. So for my clients and people who I train, if you want to train on holiday, then that's you do your thing. Yeah. That's going to help you enjoy your day, then great, wake up, go for those nice sunrise runs, perfect. But if you're someone like myself who likes to completely chill on holiday, do it and don't feel bad about it, because you can come back once your holiday's finished and you can get back into a healthy routine, no problem.
Yeah, I have to say, when I obviously hadn't exercised for a long time, and then I do, it does hurt a lot more as well, and you tend to see the results differently to if you work out all the time. So it's Yeah, it's very different. And I think this is, we'll take one more question. Layla, I think this is quite appropriate because I think a lot of people will be feeling like this pre-lockdown. She said, I used to enjoy exercising, but now I feel I'm obsessed by it. How can I create a healthier relationship with exercise?
Oh, that's a good question. I think having a social aspect to it, so training with your friends is good. Seeing your friends benefit from it as well. So obviously you're a fit person, you train regularly. Can you now help others do it as well? That can give you a nice relationship with exercise once again. And slowing down, maybe doing something different, maybe doing some yoga, doing some Pilates to allow your body just to slow down, and you can test yourself with a different method of training. That can give you that challenge, that can give you that goal to then obviously do something different and benefit yourself. So that's I've never been asked that question. So it's a good one.
Good. Well, Layla, thank you for that. And we're now going to move on, Bradley, because I think we've answered a lot of those questions there.
Yeah.
To our fact or fiction round. Are you ready for this?
Let's go.
Here we go. If you could answer fact or fiction to the following questions. You must work out every day to achieve your fitness goals.
Fiction.
It's okay for your goals to change.
Fact.
If you exercise enough, you don't have to worry about what you eat.
Fiction.
I think that's one of the big ones. You constantly need to push yourself in exercise.
Fact.
You should exercise no more than 4 days a week.
Fiction.
If you don't feel out of breath, you're not training hard enough.
Fiction.
Thank goodness. Stretching after exercise will aid recovery and help prevent injury.
Fact.
Exercise is the quickest way to lose weight.
Ooh, this is a tough one. That alongside healthy nutrition, being in a calorie deficit, is a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Everybody needs a personal trainer.
Fiction.
Doing something that you enjoy is the biggest factor in achieving your fitness goals.
Fact.
That's it. That's the right. Well done. Bradley, that was so concise. You were just on it.
Did I get them right? Were you happy with my answer?
You're the expert here, not me.
Did you disagree with any of them? We have a little chat about the one that maybe disagreed with.
No, I actually thought you answered them all perfectly. I found it interesting that you said no to everyone needs a personal trainer. And I really respect that because obviously as a personal trainer yourself, it's quite nice to hear people saying just the reality of it, that you don't have to have one.
Well, look, I guess as in one-on-one, you don't, because of there's new platforms. Like I've got a new platform now. We've got thousands. We've just got under 5,000 subscribers and they train me every single day. So maybe I am their personal trainer, but I'm also training everyone. So I guess I'm guiding them, but one-on-one, you don't necessarily need, there's loads of things out there as well. But of course, if you're new, if you're a beginner and you're new to different types of techniques and you're going into the deep end, you could get yourself injured big time. So having a personal trainer for a bit, worth the investment to make sure your technique's right, to make sure you're going into those exercises properly so you don't get injuries. You're doing those exercises correctly so you get the most out of that exercise so you succeed and you get those results. So having a personal trainer definitely has its perks. It's quite expensive, so there's other ways around it for sure.
Amazing. And I have one final question for you. And this is one from me. Have you ever had one standout client or experience with your personal trainer that you'll remember forever?
Myself?
Yeah.
I think it was just the first day I met John Terry. It was a bit of a starstruck moment when he wanted me to train him. And we did a really good session. That will always stick with me. I was very young. I was, 20 at the time. So that was a class experience. Training your idol was class.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, not many people get to meet their idols, so I'm sure that was an incredible experience for you. Yes. I'm sad because that does nearly wrap up our episode, but we always finish with a take-home message of food for thought. And I think I'll start by saying that I think movement can take, you know, so many forms. And I don't think I fully understood it before I became a parent. But for me, running around after my toddler gets my heart rate up, you know, I prefer going to classes now than going into the gym itself. You know, things can change. You don't have to put pressure on yourself to do one type of workout. And I like what Bradley said at the beginning about setting short-term goals as well as long-term, because sometimes I also find it overwhelming, I think, if you're thinking too far ahead and it may not be productive. So the rest days are important, whether you're training for a marathon or aiming to do one push-up. Your goal should be personal to you. And comparison, I think comparison is so hard, but I do feel that sometimes a lot of people may look towards different body aesthetics and think, oh, I just wish I had that.
I always say never compare, use people as motivation and inspiration, but never compare yourself, because we're all completely individual, all completely different. So we can use someone else's energy or mindset as motivation, inspiration, but don't use their like physical appearance as like, don't compare, because we're all very different.
Yeah, that's such a nice message. And do you have any other nugget of information, a food for thought you want to give our listeners today?
Just find something that you enjoy, because when you enjoy something, it's easy to stay consistent, and try and include your friends with it, because exercise is a great way to socialize. If you spend most of your time in a coffee shop, catch up with your friends, why not do that with a yoga class, Pilates, or a fitness class? It's very, very fun, and you get the benefits from it socially and physically.
I love that. Bradley, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
If you are enjoying Food for Thought, you are going to absolutely love our up and coming episodes. So if you don't already, make sure you're subscribed. That way you will be the first to hear it every Monday. It would also be brilliant if you have the time to leave a review. These reviews are so crucial to make sure that we can reach more people and of course reach those higher highs in the charts. For more information about my nutrition clinic, the books, healthy recipes, and so much more, please visit nutrition.com. You can follow me at nutrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And of course, don't forget The Science of Nutrition, my latest book, will be out December the 30th, 2021.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.